So take your Bible and turn to the book of Nehemiah tonight. Nehemiah chapter number 5. Nehemiah chapter number 5. This time of year, the weather's changing and it has an effect on our throat. And I just want to thank the Lord for the privilege, the blessed privilege, amen, to be able to open this book and preach it tonight. We're going to be looking at walking with the Lord tonight. The subtitle will be Walking in the Fear of God. Walking in the fear of our God. I'll word it just like the Bible does. Let's start reading tonight in verse number 1. The Bible said, and there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. That another word for that dearth there would be famine. There was a famine going on. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute and that upon our lands and vineyards. I want to stop and say something tonight. I didn't plan on saying this. But did you know tonight that credit card debt in America right now is probably higher than it's ever been in history? Did you know that there's people that's having to put groceries on a credit card? School supplies on a credit card. And if that's not you tonight, you ought to shout hallelujah. Amen. If you can pay your bills. But that's kind of what's going on here. They didn't have credit cards in this day, but it's just backing up. The debt's just backing up. Now watch. The Bible said there were also, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them. You have to have some money, don't you, to redeem them. And for other men have our lands and our vineyards. Notice verse number 6. This is Nehemiah. He said, and I was very angry. Nehemiah didn't like what was going on. It angered him. You know, there are people that think a leader should never be angry. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. Jesus is the leader of all leaders. And there were times in his ministry when he was angry. He was very angry. Many people don't understand, but there is such a thing as a righteous anger. The Bible said, what did it say? Be angry and sin not. There's such a thing as an unrighteous anger, and that brings about sin. But the Bible's telling us there that a person could be angry and not sin. And I don't believe Nehemiah sinned. When I heard their cry and these words, then I consulted with myself and rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, ye exact usury. Here these people are in debt. They've sold their vineyards. They've sold their houses, their children. Many of them have been made slaves out of. And here are the nobles that are charging them interest on what they're getting. And by the way, I don't think I made a note of it, but in my study in the book of Deuteronomy, God made a law against that. You wasn't supposed to do that, amen. You know, our Father, He thinks of everything, don't He? Say amen. So He already lined it up. He said, you exact usury, every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. They knew that they had been exposed for what they were doing. By the way, when Jesus drove that bunch out of the temple, I don't believe they had anything to answer either. Say amen. He said, "You've made my Father's house a den of thieves." He made a scourge of small cords. He threw the tables over, and he didn't get up and give a speech. He drove them out of the house of God. Amen. I believe that's the side of Jesus that nobody, not many, let me say it like that, want to see. They want that gentle Jesus, that loving Jesus. I'm going to tell you what, he's going to ride out of heaven in the second coming. I'm not talking about the rapture now. I'm talking about the second coming. They're going to find out, beloved, out of his mouth goeth a sharp, two-edged sword. Amen. He's going to consume them in his power. Watch this now. Also, I said, here's our text verse tonight. It is not good that you do. Ought you not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? Nehemiah said, what you're doing is not good. And what you ought to do is walk in the fear of our God. That's what I want to, I'm going to try my best for the most part, at least the theme of the message will stay in this chapter tonight. But I want to share some things with you about walking with the Lord, walking in the fear of our God. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the precious, precious time that we have. God, you said redeeming the time for the days are evil. Help us tonight, our Father. Lord, as we look into the Word of God, speak to our hearts, Lord. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This chapter, chapter number 5, is sandwiched in between chapter 4 and chapter 6. In chapter 4 and chapter 6, the opposition to the work of God is coming from without. In chapter 5, the opposition to the work of God is coming from within. And tonight, I want to deal with this subject, walking in the fear of our God. It's not really what we would say here. It's not really a money problem. It's not really a supply problem. If you go back to Nehemiah chapter number 1, I believe it is, and you start reading in verse number 8, the Bible said in a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace that appertain to the house and for the wall of the city and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God that was upon me. Nehemiah had everything he needed to build. And I believe Nehemiah would, Philippians hadn't been written yet, but Nehemiah would have said something like this, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. So it wasn't really a supply problem or a money problem, but the problem was greed. There were people that were greedy and were trying to make money off of their own people, the Jews, the brethren. And tonight, if God will help me, I want to give you three things. And I'm doing this on purpose. It was 17 things last Wednesday night. Amen. And so tonight, I want to give you three things. And you can get excited, but your excitement might not last too long. Amen. But underneath those three things is three things. Amen. You understand what I mean. And so tonight, I want to look at a reason to walk in the fear of our God, and the requirements for walking in the fear of our God, and then the result of walking in the fear of our God. I sat down yesterday. Well, actually, it was last night. I got home. My wife and I, we went to Asheville. We came back, and we made three visits there at Encompass. It used to be Health South. And by the time I got home, it was about 10 minutes after 5. And I told my wife, I'm going to get a bite to eat and go study a while. And so I went and studied a while. Some of our people were visiting last night, and I thank God for that. But I could not, listen to me, after being on the road yesterday, Charlie would talk to me and Wanda would talk to me there in the room, and I could see their mouth moving and I couldn't hear anything. And it reminded me of those days with Rock of Ages. You stay on the road all day and that road noise, that road roar, and it was awful, amen. I was asking my wife, and she'd tell me, she'd repeat and tell me what they said. So I wouldn't have done any good visiting last night anyway, amen. But I visited the Word of God, and I'm going to give you what God gave to me. A reason to walk in the fear of our God. Let me just introduce it just a moment. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Let's get a little bit of a picture, a little bit of a description of what it means to walk in the fear of our God. Psalms chapter 111 and verse number 10. I'm going to take the time to look at these verses. I hope you'll put a little dot by it or a star by it or something like that and go back and look at it later. Here's what it means to walk in the fear of our God. Let's look at Psalm 111, verse 10. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You've heard that before. And a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. I want you to remember that praise. It's going to come back in the chapter after a while, okay? Now, if you will, go to the book of Proverbs. Turn over to the book of Proverbs. You can be asking yourself the question, do I really fear God? As I was preparing, I thought about my wife. She was 16 years old. She didn't have any church training, never been in a Sunday school and church services and things like that. She didn't have that in her youth, in her childhood, in her youth. And I looked at my wife. She's 16 years old. I said, Eve, do you fear God? And Miss Eve wasn't mocking. She looked at me and said, no, am I supposed to? I'm telling you, she's about the most unlikely candidate in the world to be a pastor's wife. And I'm about the most unlikely candidate in the world to be a pastor. But God can pick people up and make something out of them. Amen. For His glory. You can look in the Bible, beloved. There's people. Peter, an old, rough, rugged fisherman. Amen. And God stood him up on the day of Pentecost, said, preach, son. Amen. And He did, didn't He? Amen. Little as much when God is in it. Amen. Amen. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7 with me for just a moment. The Bible said here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but, need to read this too, how important is the fear of God? But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let me tell you something right now. You can go to talking to some people about alcohol, and they despise. Don't you talk to me about my beer. Don't you talk to me about my liquor. Say amen. They don't want to hear any instruction. Amen. You want to know why? Because, beloved, they despise it. They despise it. But the fear of the Lord, the Bible said, is the beginning. You go to talking to some people about the issues of the day. Amen. About the drag queens and about all of that. And beloved, they despise that instruction. Look in chapter 8 and verse number 13. We're looking at just a little definition real quick. In chapter 8 and verse number 13, the Bible said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Let me tell you something, beloved. If you don't hate evil, you don't fear God. Did you hear what I said? Now listen, I don't believe you're supposed to hate the individual. But I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Sin is sin, and you ought to hate it in your own life. You ought to hate it in anybody else's life. Amen. With a passion. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. That's just a little bit of a definition here. Look at chapter 9 and verse number 10. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. I'm going to tell you where the fear of the Lord comes from. Just walk with Him. Talk with Him. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, that's where we get our understanding from. Amen. Look at chapter 16 and verse number 6. The Word of God said here in chapter 16 and verse number 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You say, Pastor, have you ever got into anything since you've been saved that you hadn't got into? I'd have to say yes. You say, Pastor, how'd you get out of it? The fear of God. Amen. God come along and spoke to my heart. I believe God will speak to you. You don't respond to that, He'll bend you over His knee. Say amen. You're looking at a preacher, please, if you don't respond to that, you go on and on. If you're a genuine child of God, this book teaches He'll take you out of this world. That's what this book teaches. Amen. Walking in the fear of the Lord. Let's get started now in the message tonight. First of all, a reason to walk in the fear of our God. The first thing I put down here under that reason, we're back in Nehemiah chapter number 5 now, is we're redeemed. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 1. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their, what's that word right there? Brethren. You can't be brethren without being redeemed. Look what the Bible said here. I believe it's verse number 8. The Bible said, and I said, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren. Listen to me tonight. We ought to walk in the fear of the Lord because we're His. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. We're in the family of God. And that in itself ought to be enough to cause us, beloved, to be careful what we say. Be careful where we go. Be careful what we listen to. Amen. The fear of the Lord. There's a reason we're redeemed. Amen. The Bible said, I'm going to read this. I put a star by it in my notes here. In Acts chapter number 9, I believe it is. Let's look here in verse number 31. The Bible said, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. That means being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Let me tell you something tonight. Listen to me. How many of y'all know this? Throughout our land, I'm talking about America, many churches have shut their doors. How many of y'all know that? Listen, some of it, beloved, listen, was financial. You understand what I mean? But I'm going to tell you what some of it was. Somebody couldn't get their way. So there's pride. There's arrogancy. Now there's a power struggle. Say amen. And I'm telling you, the thing's split. Amen. Wide open. And the doors are shut. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it's because somebody stopped fearing God. Amen. Listen, if I fear God, I'm not going to run my mouth about you. And if you fear God, you're not going to run your mouth about me. Amen. I love that old song. I heard it years ago. Go and tell Jesus on me. If my faults and failures you see, if you are my brother, don't go tell another. Go and tell Jesus on me. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. Amen. And anything less is not the fear of God. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, we're redeemed. We're the brethren tonight. You remember over there was a strife between Lot's herdmen. Remember that? And Abraham's herdman. And you know what? You know what Abraham said? We be brethren. Amen. We're not going to arm wrestle over this thing. He said, Lot, you just choose which way you want to go. I'll go the other way. That's how I do, Brother Brown, when I go hunting with somebody. Amen. Hey, somebody said, well, I know where the best spot is. Have at it. Amen. I'll just take the leftovers. Amen. And just go wherever. It don't matter to me. Amen. I'm happy, 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 happy just to take whatever. I'm telling you, beloved, tonight, Abraham said, we be brethren. We got no business fighting over this and striving over this. Amen. Because we're part of the family of God. I tell you what Abraham was doing. He was showing us that he feared God. He wasn't going to fight with Lot. He wasn't going to let the herdsmen fight. Amen. Over him. Now, the second thing tonight, and the reason to walk in the fear of God, it's not only because of the redeemed, we're in the family, but the reproach of the enemy. I'm going to tell you something right now tonight. There have been many communities hurt by what went on in a church. Well, notice what the Bible said right here. Also, verse number 9, I said, it is not good that you do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I'm going to tell you who gets hurt the worst from this inside trouble like this, right? Like this squabble that's going on right here in the book of Nehemiah. Who gets hurt the worst? Number one, the weak. Paul told us about it in the book of Corinthians. Some people are strong in the faith, amen? If they don't go the Bible way, they're going to go somewhere, amen? They're going to serve God the rest of their life. Some people are weak in the faith. You ever heard somebody say something like this? Well, if that's what going to church is all about, there ain't no need me going. How many's got me right there? You know I'm telling the truth, amen? And then the community, the heathen, the unbeliever ends up being hurt. Because Jesus said by this, when you love one another, when you fear God, you love one another, shall all men know you're my disciples if you have love one to another. So we ought to have a reason to walk in the fear of God. We're redeemed. And because we don't want the enemy to reproach us. But walking in the fear of God, number three, under this first thing here, it respects the Father. Beloved, listen, it's not that we crawl up in the corner afraid God's going to hit us with a stick. But it's a reverential trust and respect for our Heavenly Father. I'm telling you, I had that respect for my earthly father. I was in my 20s and I blew up on my dad one day on the job. I mean blew up. You say, did you cuss your dad? No, I still got teeth. No, I didn't cuss my dad, but I blew up on him. Amen. My dad was up on a ladder. He was aggravated with me and I was aggravated with him. And I'm going to tell you what. I asked my dad to come down and he reluctantly did finally. And I said, Daddy, you ain't never done anything to deserve to be talked to like that. And I said, Daddy, God being my helper, I'll never speak to you that way again. I said, Daddy, I need you to forgive me. And we hugged each other's neck. And from my 20s, I'm now, Daddy died in 2015, but never, ever, ever, ever did I even think about speaking to my father like that again. I had respect for my earthly father. I thank God the fear of God will put a respect out in your heart for your heavenly father. Amen. There's some things you just don't want to do. Daddy told me when I was a teenager, he said, son, we don't have much. We probably never will have much if something don't change. He said, but we've got a good name. He said, son, please don't drag our name through the mud. I'm telling you, if you're here tonight and you're a child of God, you might not have much, but you've got a good name. You're a Christian. You've got the name of Christ. And the fear God ought to make us want to respect our Heavenly Father and honor Him in all that we do. Oh, beloved friend, what a blessing. What a blessing that is. I don't know why I wrote this down here. Let's go see. Psalm 33, verse number 18. Psalm 33, verse number 18. Sometimes I get on my computer, print my scripture out. Well, more times than not I do, so I don't have to turn. But I was tired. And I didn't do that. I wrote this text down for some reason. Let's go here and see. Psalm chapter 33, verse number 18. Oh, look at that. Now I remember. Behold, the eye of the Lord. Boy, how many wants his eye on you? The eye of the Lord, Brother Jason, is upon them that fear him. Ain't that good? The Bible said the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Glory to God. That's reason enough right there to walk in the fear of the Lord, ain't it? To know our Father's got his eye on us. Let's look here quickly at some requirements for walking in the fear of the Lord. What is it that would cause us to walk in the fear of the Lord? Number one, we need to remember the work. You see, Brother Gary, if you and I fall out, then we're thinking about your way, my way, me and you. We're not remembering the work. We're not seeing the big picture. Is anybody getting me right there? The work. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. Let me tell you something, youngins, the night's coming when no man can work. The night's coming when it's too late to knock on a door, when it's too late to pray. Amen. And so we need to remember the work. Watch what the Bible said here in chapter 4, verse number 19, just up a few verses. I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, I want you to see this statement. The work is great and large. I want you to know something. It's too big for this preacher. It's too big for this church. But we can do what God wants us to do. But we're not going to do it if we don't remember the work. That's what it's going to require for us to keep walking in the fear of God, is to remember there's something bigger than your way, something bigger than my way, something bigger than two people or two groups of people. How many knows what I just said? In a power struggle, trying to have their way. It's the work of God. We need to remember the work. Someone said years ago, we need to keep the main thing, the main thing. You can take this watch right here and you can take a band off of it and still tell time. You can take a crystal off of it if you're careful, I mean, and still tell time. How many's had a cracked watch before? I wore them for years like that, amen? You can take a back off of it. Just don't dip it in no water, but you can still tell time. But I'm going to tell you, there's a mainspring in there. You mess with that mainspring, and you can't tell time with it anymore. And listen, the church of the living God's got a mainspring. His name is Jesus. God wants us to share that mainspring, amen, with others. He's the one that gives life and gives it abundantly and gives it eternal. And keeping souls, the main thing, the main thing. Beloved, remember the work. And then if we're going to walk in the fear of the Lord, we need to repent of our ways. Remember I told you a while ago, there have been times when, you know, I love Brother Mitchell, don't you? One of the things Brother Johnny said, I don't reckon I'll ever forget as long as I've got a memory. He said, if you've ever repented, you're still repenting. Boy, that's a good statement. Amen. Brother John, he's had a lot of sickness lately, so he's quit. I used to get sick and before a couple years ago, and Brother John called me and said, you know what you need to do, preacher? You need to get over in a corner and repent. Ain't that right, Brother John? He quit saying that now because he's sick more than I am. Amen. He don't want to hear it. Amen. He's joking. But I'm going to tell you something right now. And every sickness is not because somebody needs to repent. That's not what he's saying. He's kidding. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're walking with God, the closer you get to him, the more you're going to see things in your life that needs to be helped, needs to be forgiven, needs to be straightened out. I believe that. You say, repent what of their ways. Well, what do you mean, preacher? Well, the Bible said here, they held their peace and they found nothing to answer. He said, I likewise and my brethren, my servants might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, I'm verse 10, let us leave off this usually. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards. Beloved, they repented of their ways. They stopped doing what they were doing. I'm going to tell you something. That's what the fear of the Lord will do for you. Amen. My son was little. I put my hand on his shoulder. He had on some kind of a padded bottom. I don't remember if it was padded breeches or whatever. And I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, stop it, son. And I popped him on the bottom. He looked up at me and said, that didn't hurt. Bad mistake, Brother Larry. Bad mistake. I went out there at the end of the porch and got that lilac tree and got me three little switches off of it, Keen. I wrapped him around the back of his legs, and you'd have thought he is a dying. Amen. You say, preacher, they'll put you in jail. Well, they'll just have to put me in jail. Say amen. I left them things hanging off the gun cabinet up there about that far. After that, all I had to say is, son, you want me to get a switch? He wasn't saying that didn't hurt. He was straightening up. Say amen. Whatever it needed to be done. I'd say, son, drop that rock. He'd drop it. Amen. Why? Because of the fear of being corrected. It wasn't the fear of the Lord at that time in his life, but it was the fear of a father. And later he developed a respect. Later he said, Daddy, I got several whippings, but he said, I didn't get as many as I deserved. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. God's people, we need to remember the work. And when we're wrong, we need to repent of our ways. Nehemiah in chapter number 1 is burdened and he's broken. In chapter number 5, he's angry. Nehemiah is angry because of the way God's people are treating God's people. Let me say this to you tonight. You want to break this preacher's heart? If you want to break this preacher's heart, just go doing wrong, doing each other wrong. God is my witness. There's not one person in this church that I love more than another. And it wouldn't matter who it was. It would break this preacher's heart. But I'm going to tell you something more than that. This ain't the church of Rick Vannoy. This is the church of Jesus Christ. It'd break the Savior's heart. Amen. To see his people squabbling with one another. Amen. Or mistreating one another. Here it was with usury. It was interest, charging interest and taking advantage of somebody that didn't have anything. Beloved, there's people that they won't have a fellowship hall because they believe the Bible said, have you not houses to eat in? That's exactly what it said. But you know what was going on over there in Corinth? If you'll look at it, one was eating before another and some were doing without. I'm going to say this. I'll be preaching that. If I ever catch this church, amen, setting somebody off in the corner and not give them something to eat while everybody else is eating, I'll say, go to the house and eat. Say amen. Amen. Because we don't have any respect of persons. And so the fear of the Lord, the requirements for walking in the fear of the Lord, remember the work. Repent of our ways. When we get wrong, just admit it. But number 3, we need to return to the work. You see, in chapter number 6, they got over it and they went right back to working on that wall. Say amen. Ain't that good? Amen. Pick up the pieces and go right on and work together. Amen. There's a reason to walk in the fear of our God, the requirements for walking in the fear of our God. Let me give you the result of walking in the fear of our God. I just now mentioned it. Number 1, the work continues. When we walk in the fear of God, the work continues. I was thinking the other day, I said something to Miss Eve. We were talking about Brother Don and how that he was able to, after that he resigned the pastorate, he was able to go out and preach meetings and still be a blessing to God's people. And I told my wife the other day, and I don't know why I think like this sometimes, but I'm just being transparent with you. I said, honey, when the day comes that I can't pastor anymore, I said, I hope somebody will let me preach. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you've got any preaching, you want to preach. Amen. You don't have to preach. You get to. And you love to. Amen. You love to preach the Word of God. The result, walking in the fear of God, the work continues. These people here, beloved, that Nehemiah scolded, so to speak, they were teachable. They had a teachable spirit. They had a correctable spirit. There's a lot of people that are unwilling to admit that they're wrong. I believe, listen, I've made this statement for years. I'm going to make it again. It takes a bigger man to say, I'm sorry, I blew it, than it does to blow it. Every one of us can blow it. Amen. Amen. We're out to blow it. My favorite line in that song, Brother Dale, is this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise. Amen. When I get rid of that, I'll never blow it again. Amen. The work continues. Look at chapter 6 and verse 15 real quick. The result of walking in the fear of God, the work will be finished. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. There's opposition from without, opposition from within, but the work went right on because there was a people that had a mind to work, walking in the fear of the Lord. There was a famine. I thought about this. Think about what we're going through right now in our country. The famine, it brought out the best in some. You can actually look at the last part. I don't have time to read it all tonight. But the last part of chapter 5, look at Nehemiah's example. Nehemiah wasn't just feeding his family. He was feeding 150 people. He wasn't doing what these nobles were doing, amen. He was going above and beyond, amen. He was setting the example for them. I reminded when I studied that years ago, I was in a Jubilee meeting in Bristol. Now, talking to somebody, we were working on the church where I pastored my first church. And my brother and I took two 20-foot ladders and hung them across the roof, tied them together at the top. It was real steep. And we hung them, and then we climbed up those ladders. We painted that metal roof on that church. You've been by it, Brother Jason. If you went down the hurricane, down in there to that church, you've been right by it. But there was a man overheard us talking about that. And he said, I'm telling you right now, he said, you ain't got no business doing any work around the church. And he said to another fella, he said, tell him, preacher. He said, tell him. He ain't got no business doing that kind of work around the church. That's what he said. And you know what that preacher looked back at him and said? He said, well, brother, I'd have a hard time telling him that. He said, because I never would ask my men to do anything that I wasn't willing to do myself. That backfired on him. Say amen. I'm just telling you, Nehemiah wasn't asking these people to do something that he wasn't already doing himself. He was walking in the fear of God. So the work continues. The work is finished. Paul, remember, he said, I fought a good fight. He said, I finished. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. Ain't that good? Wouldn't you like to finish the course that God has for you? And then let me give you this. Turn to chapter number 8 real quickly. The result of walking in the fear of the Lord. In the fear of God. The fear of our God. What is the result? I thought about this. I'll get to chapter 8 right here just quickly. But in this famine, it brought out the best in some and the worst in others. Has not the flood done the same thing? It's brought out the best, Brother Mike, in so many and the worst in some. Amen? People looting, stealing, doing things like that. Amen? Oh, my goodness. How awful that is. And yet there's others. I've heard stories about somebody had 5 gallons of gas trying to give it to somebody, and they said, no, I've got enough gas. You take that and give it to somebody who needs it. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. Amen. But look in chapter number 8 real quick. I'm not going to be here long at all. The result of walking in the fear of the Lord, the work continues. The work is finished. But the last thing that God showed me was worship is encouraged. Amen. Worship is encouraged. I'd hate to do anything that would hinder our worship, wouldn't you? And walking in the fear of the Lord, it doesn't hinder worship, it encourages worship. Let me show you chapter number 8. The first thing that it said in verse number 1, it said, bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And then if you drop down to verse number 5, the Bible said, and Ezra opened the book. How many's glad we can bring the book? How many's glad we can open the book? Now watch this. You drop down into verse number 8, and the Bible said, so they read in the book of the law. How many, God give you some eyes and enough knowledge to be able to read the book? Now watch this. Look in verse number 8 again. The Bible said here, they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So they brought the book. Bring it. They opened the book. They read in the book. And now they're teaching the book. Amen. You say, Pastor, what's the book got to do with worship? Everything. There's no real worship going on, beloved, if there's not a book. The book. And then in verse number 14, the Bible said they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. If you read on down, you know what they did? They built those booths and they rested just like God told them. So the last thing here in worship, they obeyed the book. They did what God told them to do. That's what the fear of God. That's a result of the fear of God. The work will continue. The work will be finished. And worship is encouraged. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight?